Welcome to another message from Citizen Heights. We are located in the nation's capital where our heart is to inspire hope, remove limitations, and help you experience God's possible for your life. Join Pastors Michael and Heather Jarreau in their passion to help you live out your best life. We hope you enjoyed today's encouraging and uplifting message.
Let's hear it again for our Citizen kids. Weren't they amazing? There's something so special about the perspective of a child, isn't there? There's something unique, and it opens our hearts, the simplicity and the innocence. I just want to take a few moments right now to talk about a childlike faith, talking about a child's heart, because there's something about a child's perspective. They can get the details wrong. You can come in on Bob the pterodactyl in the manger scene. There's some details missing. There's a few facts wrong. But there's something special to be young again, right? To be young again when you were young. They warn you, don't grow up too fast. And I remember being told that, don't grow up too fast. You'll want for the day when you didn't have a job. You'll want for the day where you didn't worry about bills. You'll want for the day you didn't have student loans. You'll want for the day when the biggest thing on your mind was, when do I get my macaroni and cheese? There's something special about that. And you get older, and the demands and the obligations of life, sometimes they can take some of the wonder. They can take some of the innocence. They can take some of the simplicity. Still, we're told when you're older, age is just a number. You know, we're told that, but our bodies tell us differently. Age is just a number, and you can be young at heart. And there's something so special about a child's perspective. And I think Jesus in Matthew chapter 18 talks to us about that childlike heart, that childlike faith. And it says in verse 2 through 4, Jesus called a little child to him, and he stood the child before his followers. Then he said, I tell you the truth, you must change and become like little children. Otherwise, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. The greatest person in the kingdom of heaven is the one who makes himself humble like this child. Jesus brings a child front and center in the middle of church and says, you can learn something from the children unless you become like this one, like a child. Matthew 18, we find the King of Kings, Jesus, describing how you become part of and how you involve yourself in his kingdom. The King of Kings is telling us this is how you can become part of and understand the kingdom. He said, you're going to make a journey. It's going to be, there needs to be a decision, and there needs to be some change. It doesn't require evolution of a higher consciousness. You know, that's sometimes we think, well, if I'm going to get to God, God's way up there, so I probably have to evolve and get better and better and better. Jesus actually says it's more of a de-evolution, more of a regression in our mind that, no, don't become super smart about Jesus. Become childlike and simplistic towards your approach to Jesus. So don't try to evolve into some higher form. Acknowledge that Jesus is everything you've been looking for. And with a faith like a child, to accept that reality. Jesus said, unless you change and become like children, that childlike faith. See, when a child reaches out and holds your hand just because you ask them to. When a child stops at the edge of a curb because you asked, even though they didn't see the danger for themselves. When a child covers their eyes when a spooky commercial comes on, and you quickly say, cover your eyes, cover your ears, because of your warning, they respond. When a child takes their most prized possession, their most prized toy that's broken, and hands it over to you because they know that you're going to fix it, that you're going to put it back together again, to wake up in the morning as a child with a child heart to expect provision, expect protection. Expect affirmation. Expect these things. It's great to be a child, isn't it? It's good to be a child and to wake up and we say, how could we ever get back to that spot? How could I ever be like that again? We carry the weight of our marriage or our mortgage or our profession or the big decisions in front of us, you know, that come along with pressure and stress and anxiety and sometimes physical diagnosis and sometimes financial loss. And we wonder, how could I ever get back to that place where I just wake up and it's just like, good morning, I'm alive. It's good to be alive. When children walk in the room and they have that confidence of, I'm here. I know you've been waiting for me. Here I am. And I watched one of our citizen kids as we all cheered and clapped and applauded, and one of them just put up his hand like, that's okay. I'll take that. Like, of course you're clapping for me. Of course. What else could you do? I'm here. Becoming like a child again. It's a childlike faith. Jesus says, become like a child. He's talking about childlike faith. If you have trouble understanding what is faith, what does it look like? The best English word we have to kind of bring a synonym alongside of faith to understand is the word trust. It's just trust. It's trusting in God. It's having faith and trust in Him for your future. It's having faith and trust for Him that you expect provision. You expect protection. You experience His affirmation and His affection. And so we trust Him. Become like a child again. You might say, well, come on, that's a Sunday school message. That's better left downstairs with the children, with puppets and flannel graphs and these simple ideas. But it was a radical thought that Jesus brought to His people and brought to those that were there that day to say, become like a child. You're trying to climb your way to God, and it's the reverse. It's not bettering yourself. It's humbling yourself. It's just getting back to the roots of the simplistic place of saying, Jesus, I trust You. I give my life to You. Jesus wasn't simply, in Matthew 18, using an illustrated sermon, musing, I wonder what it would look like if we put a child in front of a group of people and said, become like Him. He wasn't just using that as an illustration. Jesus was remembering what it was like. Now follow me, because this is going to help some of us. 1 Peter 1:20 says that Jesus was known before the foundation of the world, but He was revealed in the last times for our sakes. So He's always been before the foundation. Revelation 13 says, before the foundation of the earth, verse 8, Jesus was. He's eternal. He's always been. And in Matthew 18, when Jesus shows up and says, hey, if you want to approach the King, if you want to be part of the kingdom, then this is how you approach God. Change. Become like a child. Humble yourself. It wasn't just advice. It was a reflection on the journey Jesus Himself took. Come on, we know Jesus is eternal. John 1 says that He was and is to come. The Word became flesh. We know Jesus is eternal. But before we beheld Jesus' glory, Jesus surrendered His glory, took upon Himself the form of a servant, was born in a manger, a helpless child. Think about it for a moment. Jesus isn't just saying become like a child so you can minimize your logic and your reason and the filters that we use to decide if God is worthy of our trust. Jesus is saying, why don't you walk in My footsteps and do what I did? Become like a child and entrust your future. Think about it. It's hard for us to humble ourselves as humans to an infinite God, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard for us sometimes to say, well, I'll let go of that, or I won't worry about that. The Bible says, don't be anxious. So, well, I do have reasons to be anxious. If it's hard for us to humble ourselves as humans to an infinite God, how much harder must it have been for an infinite God to humble Himself to humans? Born in a manger, the God of the universe, surrendering His life to human hands, the frailty of a baby born without basic provisions, the vulnerability of a baby being born when all of Rome and governmental decrees are to find Him and kill Him, the uncertainty of a baby being raised by a teenage mom, and a dad who knows manual labor. Jesus having to obey. I mean, this is, Jesus said, I became like a child. This is how much I love you, that I came to you. And not just come to you to rescue you, but walk in the shoes that you'll have to walk in, to do the things that you'll have to do. Jesus became not just like a child, like he tells us in Matthew 18. He became literally a child, like he tells us in Matthew 18. Isaiah 9 tells us, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the greatness of his kingdom and peace there will be no end. This is Jesus. Isaiah 9 tells us he's the Almighty One. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the friend of sinners. Come on, he's the light of the world, the living hope. This is who Jesus is, yet Jesus, God in the flesh, said, I'll not just become like a child, I'll become literally a defenseless child. It's hard for us to entrust ourselves as humans to an infinite God, but that's exactly what God did. An infinite God entrusted himself to human hands. And Christmas is the story of Jesus humbling himself. Christmas is the story of him showing us the way to become one of us, to become like us, to walk through everything that we'll walk through. This is what Jesus has done for us so he could show us the way. He could reach us, but also he can relate to us. A God like no other God you'll ever read about, a God who experienced what you experienced, has gone through the temptation and the trials, the ups and the downs, the victories and the defeats. Jesus has walked through it all. So in Matthew 18, when he says, if you want to approach the king and if you want to be part of the kingdom, you have to do this thing. You have to change. You have to make a decision to change and become trusting and believing. And Jesus is not speaking on a topic distant from his own experience. He walked that walk. He did it. So he knows what you're doing. He felt it, so he knows what you're feeling. Christmas is not a story of what we must do to get to God. Christmas is a story of what God was willing to get to us, to walk in our shoes. Ephesians 1:4 says, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Jesus chose you. He chose you. He chose me. But our response must be a decision. Amen? Our response must be to Matthew 18, to be willing to change. And the change is this: become like a child. Trust and believe. I have four kids. My youngest is 10 now, but I remember when he was younger, because kids teach you things. When he was about 5 years old, I could tell Easton, he was in the back row with the antlers on in the choir. He's 10 now, but when he was about 4 and 5, I could tell him anything and he would believe me. I could tell him anything, and he just chose, Dad tells the truth. And I remember one time on the way to school, preschool, I said to him, hey, you know, I used to be a giraffe. And he goes, what? Dad, you used to be a giraffe? Yeah, I haven't told you this before. We haven't talked about this. Dad, what's it like to be a giraffe? And we talked about, you know, how tall I was, how far I could see, how long my sore throat would get when I got sick, my most feared predators. We had this whole conversation. And the whole time he's asking me questions, I'm thinking to myself, surely he doesn't believe that I used to be a giraffe. We have this whole conversation. We get to school, and finally he's getting out of the car, and he stops. He goes, Dad, were you really a giraffe? I said, no, I wasn't, but it's fun to pretend, isn't it? He goes, oh, yeah, it's fun to pretend. He just had to double check because he had chosen. He made a decision. Dad tells the truth. And Dad can do anything. So if Dad tells me he was a giraffe, he must have been a giraffe. Dad, were you telling the truth? What if we chose today to believe that God is who he says he is, that God will do what he said he would do? It might not be reflected in the outward. It might not. You might not see it in the exterior. You might not make that connection knowing the facts that you know. But what if we just made that decision? Say, I'm going to become childlike. If he says it's time to hold hands, I'm going to assume he knows something I don't know. When he says stop, don't proceed, I'm going to assume there's danger ahead because my God is good and he loves me. And before the foundation of the earth, it says that he chose me to be in him. He chose me to be in relationship with him. A child's desire to believe is really a child's decision to believe. I wonder if we could choose today. Starts with a decision. Starts with a simple decision to believe. Jesus, you are who you say you are. Amen? Starts with something simple like that. I want to pray with you right now. Maybe just close your eyes wherever you are. I'm sure it might insult your intelligence or your ego or your pride. Shouldn't our approach to God be more empirical or more cerebral? Shouldn't our approach to God be something that we can be proud of? But Jesus says, follow in my footsteps. Trust your human, your frailty, your limitedness as a person into the hands of an infinite God and choose to believe again. Choose to believe that God is good. Choose to believe that God is never late. Choose to believe that God is on time. Choose to believe that he's the provider, Jehovah Jireh. Choose to believe that he's the healer, the good physician, the great physician, the good shepherd who walks alongside of us. Choose to believe again that he hasn't abandoned you. He hasn't forsaken you. He's chosen you before the foundation of the earth. He knew your name. And he said, I'll put my life in the hands of penniless teenagers in a disrupted governmental system in tumultuous spiritual times. And I'll grow up vulnerable with uncertain future because I want to know what it feels like for them to trust me and to let go and to let God. Come on, this is a season that's going to be fruitful for you. This is a season where God is going to be faithful to you. This is a season where the joy of the Lord is going to be your strength again. This is a season where God turns the tides and he becomes the righteousness you couldn't attain, the peace you couldn't find, the joy you couldn't hold on to. His name is Jesus, and he came to pursue us. And our response is simply to say, here we are, Lord, hands to heaven. Take us where you want to take us. Lead us where you want us to go. With every eye closed, I want to pray for you as we close today. Jesus is the story that what we must do to get to God is simply rely on him and receive him. And I want to give you an opportunity with every eye closed here today. First and foremost, I want to give you an opportunity for faith again. Say, I just need faith. I need to trust God. I need to let go of a few things. You might be carrying some things that are pretty heavy right now. If you want to respond to this word, say, I need faith. You know, you can have faith like Thomas had faith. I believe, but I'm still not sure. If that's you today and you're believing God for something, just lift your hands and respond to this message. Father, all of this room, Lord, you see these hands that are up. Father, even as we raise our hand, there are others who are not comfortable raising their hands, but God, you know our heart. You know our name. You know what we're up against, and you know we need you. So, Father, we take a step of faith today. We decide to simplify and to humble ourselves like children. Leave behind the complexity of how we must approach God to earn your approval and simply receive what you've said about yourself. You're the lover of our soul. You're the friend of sinners. You're the one who made a way. So we trust you that you're going to keep making a way for us. You're going to keep going. You're going to keep leading us. With every eye closed, the second group of people I want to pray for is you here today. And if you're honest, if you're truly honest, you'd say, I don't know where I stand with Jesus, the King of Kings, the God who has a kingdom that he invites me to be a part of. Well, how do I approach? The Bible says we all have sinned and fallen short of his glory. But those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. I want to pray with you right now. Maybe you want to be sure as you walk out today and walk into the rest of this Christmas season that Jesus is not just the King of Kings, but he's your Lord, and he's your Savior. With every eye closed, I'm going to count to three. When I hit three, I'm going to invite you to lift your hand. by lifting your hand, you're not joining a church, and I'm not going to call you out of your seat or call any attention to you or embarrass you. I'm just going to pray a general prayer as we close here in a moment, but that your whole life would begin anew today in the arms of a God who loves you. Are you ready? One, don't wait. Today is a day. Two, he loves you right where you are, but loves you too much to leave you where you are. All right, hands up. One, two, three. Boom, right there. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else say, yeah, that's me. Include me in that prayer. Praise God. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray one general prayer, all of us together, nice and loud. Dear Jesus, I give you my life because you first gave me yours. I love you, Jesus, because you first loved me. So I surrender all I was, all I am, all I hope to be. I put it in your hands. I trust you. Now say this boldly. I am a Christian. By grace I've been saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, can we rejoice with those who just prayed that prayer? Amen. Amen.